Welcome back. What happened in Eden? You know, the day of redemption is near.
That's right.
And as we get nearer and nearer, we must be perfected in revelation. We can't go to heaven, you know, guessing or confused about certain things. You must be established in the truths of God's word. Okay? We started last week, or last episode, and our pastor taught us a lot of things. In fact, just to recap a few things you said. One, you said it's a mystery.
That's right.
It's a mystery. So what happened in Eden is a mystery. In other words, if someone is just reading, you know, three fruits, you've taught us that we must go beyond that physical aspect.
Sure.
And you really went deep last week. You said there are three categories of trees in Eden. You said three that grew from the ground. That's the physical trees that were for food, the physical food, natural food. Then there was a tree of life. And there was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And I asked you a question. How many Edens are there? And you answered, you said there's a physical Eden and the spiritual Eden. Sure. In fact, that really, really excited me. And then you went and you said there are two mysteries. What happened in the Garden of Eden was the beginning of the display of two mysteries.
Perfect.
Okay. You spoke on the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. Okay, let me not go on and on because this is actually for me. I'm also here to learn. Let's bring you in from there again, sir. I want you to talk about that again. These two mysteries that happened in Eden.
I have always, by God's grace, let me quickly emphasize this to our viewers and particularly you people here at the studio, that one of the things, one of the reasons that God sent us a prophet, William Marion Branham, one of the reasons, one of the things God wanted to achieve was to remove our mind, empty our mind of any form of denominational teachings.
Okay.
And focus yourself, come back to the Bible as our guide. Now, if you use your denominational teachings as a guide,
yes, sir,
then you will soon miss the proper picture the Bible gives us on any matter. Because every denomination has their understanding.
Yes, sir.
And remember, they always build a wall.
That's true.
What makes, what they are guilty of, what the denominational system is guilty of, is that you build yourself a wall and say, we here, this is what we believe. And once you build a wall, you see, you cannot go out of that wall. And so when God is moving, you know, in his progressive revelation, you will miss it because you refuse to follow him because of that wall you build around yourself. Now, fortunately, this has also come into the followers, the following of the minister William Branham.
Wow.
Now, you see the same thing. They begin to say, what did the prophet say?
That's true.
What did the prophet say?
Say.
The prophet only said one thing. Come back to the Bible.
Wow. That's what the prophet said.
That's what the prophet said.
I think that's a topic for another day.
You know, now, what I'm saying so is
yes, sir,
that you here, you are also Brahmites. You are followers of the
Messiah. I believe my prophet.
I know you believe him.
I believe my prophet.
I know you too, you believe him. You are core original Brahmites. Now, there's nothing bad about that. But the evidence that you are a Brahmite is that you will be a holder of this Bible.
Okay.
Because that is what he was known for. He came to bring us. So, in fact, the chief Brahmite, therefore, I should be the one.
Say, Brahmite.
You know, I'm a Brahmite.
Because you understand what the prophet said.
Because I understand him. Now, so if I'm going to give an explanation, it will be based on my understanding of the scripture. What does the scripture say?
Amen.
And it's not William Branham. William Branham is not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
William Branham does not give me understanding of the Bible.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost that gives me understanding of the Bible.
Amen.
Every preacher, if I preach and you understood what I preach, if you give credit to me, you miss it. Because the Holy Ghost
inspires.
That Amen. Gives understanding. Amen. It's the same Holy Ghost that inspired the teaching. Mm. And it will take the Holy Ghost for you to understand. That's and right. sometimes we forget the inspirer. Mm. And then we concentrate on the vessel that he used.
Wow.
Which is what the Brahmins usually do. And then downplay the Holy Ghost and elevate William Branham. Downplay the Lord Jesus Christ and elevate him. Mm. And I am here to place some of these things, you know, properly. I'm to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You know, he is. I look up to him as the author and the finisher of my faith.
Amen.
And it is the Holy Ghost that leads me to all truth.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and his word is truth.
Amen.
So he will lead me to his word. Amen. And his word always comes to the prophet.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
So when the prophet speaks, and I believe what he has spoken to be the truth, I believe it by the Holy Ghost that dwells in me, leading me to see the truth, his word. Amen. Not to see the messenger, but to see the message.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So the emphasis, therefore, is on the message, okay. not the messenger.
Amen.
Now, when we go back to Eden, you must have a foundation upon which you build revelations.
Hallelujah.
If there is no foundation, then you'll be subject to a lot of, you know, argument, and Apostle Paul call it babblings. First and foremost, the Bible tells us that we are created according to his pleasure.
Amen. Amen.
We are created, all his works are created according to his pleasure. And Apostle Paul broke it down by saying, who are you, clay, to challenge, the potter? Mm. Why do you say the potter? Why did you form me this way? He formed you that way according to his pleasure.
Hallelujah.
That is what he wanted. Mm. Now, the mystery of redemption is deep. If you don't understand this mystery, you'll be looking at man as some scientist that is inventing something. In the course of the invention, he makes mistakes and adjusts, and creates and rearranges. No, our God is not like that.
Amen.
You know, the truth about it is, if you're going to understand salvation, you have to look at a movie. By the time you are watching that movie, first and foremost, that movie was first a thought.
That's right.
Mm. Amen. Hallelujah.
It was first in the mind of the producer.
The producer. That's true.
That's true.
It's not when you are watching it that you think he's making it. The same thing with all creative works. And remember that God made man in his own image and his likeness.
Hallelujah.
And that's why they also say we are also gods. The Bible refers to
that.
There is one attribute of man that also is the attribute of God. It's the ability to create. Now, before a house is built, the architect designs it. That architect designing it is bringing a picture that is in mind, you know, to put down. And that is why we say our salvation is from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
There is a book of life written from the foundation of the world. And so also, Christ was crucified when?
From the foundation of the world.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's all about thought. So, everything you see is not by gamble. It was already, the picture was already in his mind. And then, at the appropriate time, it is put down like a film producer, like a script. What you see from Genesis to Revelation is a script that has been written in the mind of God, you know, being produced.
Wow.
So here is God at a point in time, because he is an eternal being, no beginning, no end. We don't know how many ions, millions, and whatever it is, you know, trillions of years that he ever existed. And how he even existed, he has refused us to know. And don't even bother, because you will never know. You know, this earth, the earth, we know through science, we know that this earth is millions of years old.
4.5 billion years old.
Some will go beyond that. Mm-hmm. So that means this earth here did not start existing when man was created.
True.
Even Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you only know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
When is that beginning? We don't know. Because if this earth is 4 billion, so it means 4 billion years ago he created the earth.
Mm.
It's 4 billion years, for instance. But man on earth here is just about 6,000 years.
That's right.
So the whole of this Bible is just a story that is telling us just about 6,000 from Adam until we come to the book of Genesis.
Book
of Revelation. It's all story of something that will span just 7,000 years. So, but what is actually happening is God wants to act, produce a film, a script.
Wow.
That is what is happening. And what is that script? It is a script that he, God, designed to manifest some of his attributes. Who is this God? If we say he is a savior, what will you use to prove it?
He must be lost.
Is he not a savior?
That's true.
If he's going to be a savior, something has to be lost. Amen. And that thing must be very precious to him.
Hallelujah. Wow.
If this God is a father, then he must have children.
That's right.
If this God is a mighty one in battle, then there has to be stages set for some battle to be fought so that he will fight from the other side. If this God, is a healer, then there has to be sicknesses, diseases, so that he can come and show himself, display that attribute. So that we will now understand that this same God that knows all things, we cannot understand why, while he was creating the serpent, he knew that he will also create, the serpent will create a problem. You know, there's a way God puts these scripts, and when he's displaying them, it really make him look like a man. The reason he does that is so that man can understand it. It will look as if Eve is a byproduct, as if he did not make provision for him, for her. You know, but she's not a byproduct.
Amen.
She's the original product.
That's right.
It's an original product because it is part of the script.
Amen. Very correct.
So he didn't just think, oh, it's not good that man should be alone. Mm. As if he made a mistake. Oh, it's not good that man should be alone. Mm. Therefore, he made him a helpmeet, and then made him to sleep, and then brought his rib out, and then formed a woman and gave it to him, as if he made a mistake. He never made a mistake.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Oh, God regretted creating man.
Genesis 6.
I look as if, it is a script.
Amen and amen.
My God.
The producer alone knows the next thing that will happen.
Amen.
He alone knows the next thing that happened. The actors don't know.
That's right.
He only said, "Hey, okay, you, okay, now you, Sydney, and now you act like a madman. You know, you will act like this to be able to achieve this, which he already has picture.
Wow.
You know, Pharaoh, have you not seen that? He will tell Pharaoh, tell Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Then he will go ahead of Moses and then harden his heart. So can't you see that there's something he's trying to play? Because he's a director of this script. So he's saying, Moses, Gabriel, go to Sydney. go to Olumide and tell him, you know, to let my people go. Maybe, you know, maybe there's a particular girl, for instance, that he's interested in. Then thus said the Lord, leave this girl to go. But he has kept that girl to pull him down. To pull him down. So that another power will manifest. He will now come and then deliver him after. Or for whatever thing he wants to prove. Then he runs to Olumide and say, and hardens his heart. So when you go, you say, tell that your God that I will not let this girl go. I will die with her. That I did not hear you. Now it's all a game. Can anybody argue with God? Mm-hmm. No.
That's right, sir.
He makes and no makes. But here you see, acting like a human being.
Or when Moses was canceling him.
Imagine a situation where Moses was counseling, people will say you left. If you decided to put these people away, and then based on that, okay, Moses, okay, this is what I will do.
Yeah, correct.
So it makes him look as if, even Moses is advising God. You know, God regretted creating man, as if he didn't know it would happen. It has to happen for an attribute to be ignited in him. So this is the whole thing about redemption. Remember, we call it redemption.
Redemption.
The word redeem is something that belonged to you. Mm-hmm. You lost it. Getting that same thing back to you.
Amen.
It's called redemption. Amen. So the script of the creation of man is about redemption. So God allowed his most precious seed on earth, his only son that he had, Adam, to be lost. And Satan thought he had succeeded. So that the process of getting him back to him will begin. That is called the mystery of godliness.
Wow. Let me pause you, sir. Because I don't know whether it's the glasses that you're putting on that is giving you revelation.
As if Daddy was there when the script was
being written. Okay.
This is by the Issachar.
Okay. I want to get it because this is firstly for me before you viewers at home. Yes. I also want to go to heaven. Mm. Okay. The process of getting back what was lost. That's redemption.
What was his originally?
Okay, getting it back. Can you redefine that mystery of godliness again in the words you just put it now?
I said the mystery of godliness,
yes, sir,
is actually God's process for redeeming the man he lost in the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
That is all about the mystery of godliness.
Okay.
Remember that as soon as man fell in the Garden of Eden, the process of his salvation was mentioned right there as he was placing the curse.
Wow.
In Genesis chapter 3.
Hallelujah. Genesis 3, what?
Verse chapter 3.
Verse 15.
Yes.
And I will put
maybe to get the picture of 14 and 15.
Okay.
Genesis 3.
Okay, now this is God cursing the serpent.
Yes.
Okay. Genesis 3 from verse 14.
Yes.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee.
Who is he talking to? The serpent.
Yes.
That's right.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman,
and
between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
You see? And I will put enmity between thee. Hey, thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Amen. Second anointing.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I want you to take note of something.
Yes, sir.
Because you're going to ask me, who is the woman?
That's right.
And between thy seed, whose seed?
The serpent's seed.
Serpent's seed, and who?
A seed.
And the woman's seed.
Yes, sir.
Eh? What will happen?
He shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel.
Now, naturally, you would think here that woman he's talking about is Eve.
Amen.
And naturally, you would think that That seed there is that the serpent had a seed, which we all say is Cain.
Mm. Yes, sir.
And then the woman also had a seed. And that seed, we all agree, because Apostle Paul mentioned it, that seed is Christ.
No, Jesus.
Now, but you will notice something here, that if the seed of the woman is Christ, then I want you to note that woman cannot be Eve.
Amen and amen.
So who is that woman?
Israel.
Thank you very much. And that is taking us to Revelation chapter 12.
Hallelujah.
That's why I say this thing is a revelation. It's a mystery that must be. Now, see the woman. Read on from verse 1.
Okay, Revelation 12 from verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, traveling in birth and pain to be delivered.
Who is that woman?
Israel.
It's Israel.
Amen.
Okay. And there appeared another wonder in heaven.
Yes.
And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns.
Okay.
And 7 crowns upon his head.
Okay.
And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and they cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child.
She brought forth
a man child.
A man child. Who is that man child?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Amen.
Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness.
No, it's okay. So that's why it is a mystery.
Amen. Wow.
When you read verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, you'll be looking at the woman as
Eve.
As Eve.
And as the serpent seed as Cain. Said man of God.
And then you look at the serpent seed as it came.
Wow.
So what is happening here?
Wow.
You know, what is happening in Genesis chapter 3 is a setting that was foreshadowing the real thing that will come up later. So that's how
it's prophecy.
It was prophetic. Even the action of producing Canada is prophetic.
Okay. Questions will keep arising, sir.
Yeah, a lot because, of questions. Like God was already speaking of the end.
Because you will see again, that chapter 3, verse 15.
Okay.
What did he say?
And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. And between thy seed and her seed.
No, wait now. The first one.
Between thee and the woman.
Between thee and the woman. Go to chapter 12.
Okay. Revelation 12.
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 3. Yes.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman.
Stood before who?
The woman.
To do what?
Which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born.
Now, but take note here. Go back to chapter 3 again, Genesis, verse 15 again.
And I put enmity between thee and the woman.
Can you see? Between thee and the woman.
And between thy seed and her seed.
So serpent has a seed, the woman has a seed.
Yes.
The woman is Israel.
Amen.
Now the seed of the woman is who?
Christ.
Christ. Now, but who is the seed
of the serpent?
Of the serpent.
Yes, sir.
Now Matthew chapter 23.
Amen.
Matthew 23.
Because see what he said will happen. See what we say will happen before you go to Matthew 23. Okay. What is it that they'll do?
I'll put enmity
verse 3, verse 15. I mean,
and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed,
what will happen?
It shall bruise thy head,
and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Amen.
So, you see the fight that is going on. What is the heel? That is the progress.
That's true.
Am I correct? It shall bruise thy head. Who is that it is referring to there?
The seed of the woman.
The seed. Is that correct?
Yes, the seed of the woman.
And between thy seed and her seed,
yes,
it shall bruise thy head.
The woman's seed will bruise
the serpent's head. And thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, if you knock somebody's head, it's not his life. It's over.
Yes, sir.
That it will end his life. But what will you be doing to the seed of the woman? You bruise his heel. That is progress. That's why Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The progress of the church. the progress of his ministry. The, you know, whatever you do at all, you just his progress will be fighting.
That's right.
Okay, but then at the end, he comes, as you see in the book of Revelation, and he finishes it.
Amen.
Okay, so you notice
Matthew 23,
from verse 32.
From verse 32.
Yeah, to 35.
Fill ye up then the measure of
because
your fathers.
Because remember, by the time you reach that portion you are reading, verse 20, 32, there has been argument with the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yes, that's whoa, right. Okay. Then in verse 32, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers.
That is, we fill the spirit that is in you.
That's right.
Your fathers. Go on.
Ye serpents.
What did he call them?
Ye serpents.
Eh?
Ye serpents.
Okay.
Ye generation of vipers.
Hey.
How can ye escape the damnation of hell?
Go on.
Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That upon you may come
all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From where? From who?
From the blood of righteous Abel.
From who?
From the blood of righteous Abel.
From who?
The blood of righteous Abel.
He said they are the ones that killed Abel. You are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. Go to John chapter 8.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Wow. John 8 verse what?
Amen.
From verse 38.
Okay. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham.
So, number one, how do we know who you belong to?
That's right.
By your works.
By your fruit.
By your characteristics.
Amen.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father.
He didn't say fathers.
That's right.
Singular. Catch something here. What did he say?
Ye do the deeds of your father.
They have one father. Okay.
Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God.
So can you see now, why did they say we be born not of fornication? It is because they are tracing, they know the whole history of how Cain was produced. And they know that he is referring to the fact that they are children of Cain. And he's saying that Cain, they all know that Cain was a product of fornication between Eve and the serpent.
Wow.
That produced Cain. That is why they are telling you, we be not born of fornication.
Amen. Certainly.
Go on.
Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech?
Why do you not understand my speech?
Even because you cannot hear my word.
This, is that not the characteristic of Cain?
That's right.
No matter how you speak, he has no ability to understand.
Amen.
Yes?
Ye are of your father, the devil.
Can you see?
And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth.
Who was that murderer in the beginning?
Cain.
It's not Satan.
Of course.
It's who?
Cain
was a murderer from the beginning.
And abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell
you
the truth.
Now, where did Cain lie?
When God asked where he is,
right. What did he say?
I know not.
He said, I don't know where he is. When you kill him, you are saying you don't know where he is. You lie. Mm. He's the father of lies. Yes?
So he's a liar and the father of it.
Okay.
Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinced me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is
now,
of God.
Now listen to verse 47.
He that is of God heareth God's words.
He that is of God. Heareth God's words.
Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
Because then, if we trace them, and these are the people that killed Jesus on the cross. These are the same people that after he resurrected and came back on the day of Pentecost, and then things were happening through the disciples, they are the same people that called the disciples to, to begin to stop them from preaching in that name.
That's right.
That is the hill they were bruising. The progress of the gospel. And they've been fighting the progress of the gospel till today. The same serpent seeds.
My God.
Okay. Is that not very interesting?
It is, sir.
Very.
So, that is why it is a mystery.
Yeah. Wow. Sir, I don't even know where to begin to ask you from. But, so that, because we want to place this as simple as we can.
That's right.
You've given us a, let me not call it a theological knowledge, but a true revelational knowledge. So I want to ask you, sir, because you brought in serpent seed also.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the original sin. Now, that's where there's a bone of contention, especially among end-time message believers. The original sin, the original sin. A normal end-time message believer will only conquer what you say. Yes, it was sex that happened in Eden.
Mm.
But the original sin was before sex and is a product of sex. That was what you said on our last episode.
Sure. Yeah. So, no, sex is a product.
Sex is a product of the original sin.
Yes.
So, now looking at the tree of life, you've said the tree is a source.
Yes.
Mm. You know, that was, you can get our last episode, what happened in Eden part one. That was when Pastor started all these interesting explanations.
Mm.
So, a tree is a source. Mm. So, you said it's a source of life. And we are still going to have that source of life in the eternal ages. That's what Christ will give us, the tree of life. Okay. And you said this tree of knowledge of good and evil was the spirit of error.
Sure.
So that was Satan in Eden.
Sure.
So I want to know, I don't know, the connection between the serpent and Satan. No. Because I see you also quoting John 8 and the devil from that story, now you are making it to look as if this came to me.
The Bible tells us there are two spirits. Mm-hmm. First John
4. That's right. That's true.
Chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, verse 6.
Now, you will notice that it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God, heareth us. He that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Yes, sir.
So there are two spirits.
Yes, sir.
God's word is truth. Am I correct?
Okay.
John 17.
Amen.
Amen.
17.
Amen.
Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Verse 17.
Sanctify them through thy truth.
That is the prayer of the Lord Jesus. Truth. God's word is
truth.
Truth.
Amen and amen.
What is the opposite of truth?
Error.
False.
False, yes.
Error. And it's displayed there. Those two trees, there are two spirits. The spirit of truth and the spirit of
error.
The spirit of truth produces life.
Amen.
The spirit of error will produce death.
Death. Amen.
So these are the two laws that were there.
Two trees
that were in the Garden of Eden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And when you say, it's not just some literature. Remember, it's figuratively used.
Okay.
It is source
Amen.
Of truth, source of error. Mm. And Satan is the source of error.
It's the spirit of error.
That is the spirit of deception.
Okay.
Because in chapter 12 of Revelation, we saw how it drew a third part of
tail,
which is deception.
That's right.
You know, and he's been identified with that since.
Mm.
So, listening to him, he will be, his own is to misplace the word of God.
Mm.
The word of God was released to them. Don't do this. Only listen here. Don't listen here. Only listen to the tree of life. We have life. Don't listen to this spirit of knowledge. You are seeking knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to them, you are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So here Satan comes and now begin to feed them.
But he used a vessel.
He will always use a vessel.
I think that's where I'm getting it.
He will always use a vessel. Okay. As we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Okay. So even Satan requires a vessel.
He requires a vessel as God requires a vessel too.
Mm.
I think that's
2 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul put it this way.
Okay.
If you are there, you can read it from verse 1.
From verse 1.
Okay.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband.
He's going back to what happened in the Garden of Eden to give a picture.
That's right.
Yes.
For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you
and
as a
chaste husband,
virgin.
And that husband is who?
Christ.
Is Christ.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin chaste to Christ.
Virgin. Was he not a virgin that was given to Adam?
That's Amen. Right.
And Christ is our last Adam?
Amen.
Okay.
Verse 3. By fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety.
What is beguiling there is deceived.
That's right.
Because Satan, the spirit of error is to deceive, is the spirit of deceit. Through his subtlety. Yes.
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yes.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
So that is the error. They will always present a different picture. It's a different picture. And yet call him Jesus. Yes?
Okay. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which...
There can be another spirit, and the only other spirit is spirit of error.
That's right.
Yes?
Or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel.
Another gospel interpretation, giving another interpretation to the word of God. Contrary to the primary purpose of the word.
By the spirit of error.
That is spirit of error.
Or if you receive another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear
go
with
to him. Verse 13.
That's for right. Such are false apostles.
Now, these people who do this, they are like serpents inspired by Satan. And they are called false apostles.
Deceitful workers.
That is all they are known for, deceit.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
They are also preachers, like the serpent came preaching. He didn't say, don't listen to God. He said, no, you didn't understand him. No, it doesn't matter. No. This is what it means. Go on.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
You see?
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the
so
ministers.
So Satan has ministers.
Okay.
Serpent was a minister of Satan, just as I am a minister of God.
Amen.
All right, sir.
Can never be minister of Satan. Lie.
At all.
Can never.
Okay. But Gabriel, I don't know, but let me ask you a question.
Before you even throw the question, when Pastor read and you mentioned Cain, you immediately said Cain is the father of liars.
Sure.
Because, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to him in John 8. The question is, why do you call Cain a serpent seed? Why not the seed of Adam? Because Genesis 4.
I didn't call him serpent seed.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't call him serpent seed.
Okay.
You are the one calling him serpent seed.
The indented message will refer to Cain as a serpent seed.
No, because we have to find out the source of this.
Yes.
You know.
Okay.
Now, what we believe, we, the followers of the minister of William Branham, and not just, remember that William Branham is not the originator of this doctrine.
Yes,
we have so many other people that preach this same doctrine before even William Branham, you know, brought it up in the 18th century, the 17th century. You know, they were there. You know, there were some great teachers, especially of Baptist denomination theologians. You know, that brought these things out. You know, many of them, they brought a lot of these dispensationalists, you know, that brought it up. But it's William Branham that, made it popular, you know. And the reason he made that popular is because there is need for us to know why we must be born again.
Amen.
You know, you don't tell somebody you must be born again, you must be born again. And you don't tell him why he must be born again.
That's true.
So William Branham, you know, had to bring these things out so that you will see the need for you you will see that your nature has been contaminated so that you will present yourself for the Holy Ghost to do a work of, you know, conversion in you, cleansing in you, which is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. So he had to let you know that this is the reason that necessitated Christ going to the cross on Calvary.
Wow.
So that is why it makes it look as if it's William Branham that brought it up. No. William Branham didn't bring anything new. Amen. But, you know, he really presented, brought it out. Like, how do I put it? Like bringing a food that was stale and bringing it back to life. You know, frying it and heating it up again. In fact, he came and heated it up again.
That's right.
You know, so that we all wake up and trim our lamps and then get ready for the soon coming of the Lord.
Amen.
So we, if you look at it carefully, you will discover that the account in Genesis chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
You will discover that the story began from there. Sorry, Genesis chapter 4. And this is where the confusion is.
Yes, sir.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. We all know what he means by that.
That's right.
They had a conjugal relationship. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, let's read that scripture again. Let me ask you this question. Let's read that statement again.
Okay.
Read it again.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said,
And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Was it Adam that made that statement or Eve that made that statement?
It was Eve.
Eve.
How do you know?
And she conceived and bare Cain, and said,
From the use of
I said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel.
Yeah.
Now, from the context of this verse 2, the first child came out.
Yes, sir.
I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother. Now, the question is, does this connote twins coming out or there was some time gap?
I would say because of the use of again. Again,
yes.
And she again bare his brother Abel.
So we cannot really say twins. There's nothing here
That
confirms that they were twins.
That's right.
For two reasons. If they were twins, Cain would not easily kill him. Because they would have been of equal
strength.
Yes, strength, yes. And they would fight it out. Certainly he would defend himself. Because with the ease with which he killed him, you know. So, but all these, just let us. You know, that is where all the arguments come up. Some say so.
That's right.
But me, personally, I'm looking at the two children that came out. The two children that came out from the same womb. I understand this from the mystery of godliness. So that before you, Abraham, might crucify me, there must be the picture. We must not just repeat. Everything we say must be supported.
Amen.
Now, if you notice that the Garden of Eden, that's why it is a mystery. The Garden of Eden had God was there. Adam was there.
Yes, sir.
Eve was there.
So Satan.
We are Satan. Uh-huh. And then we had serpent. These are the characters.
Five characters.
You know, here. God, the father of Abraham, created
Adam.
Adam is a type of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Eve is a type of church.
The church.
And then Satan, the spirit of error, that Lucifer, Satan, serpent, are his ministers, false ministers, false prophets. Now, and this is the same setting that is in the church today.
Amen.
The same way, the same setting that you see in the Garden of Eden is what you see, the same setting in the church of Jesus Christ today. Mm-hmm. Adam was given
Eve.
Mm-hmm. Remember that Adam was put to sleep and his side was from his side, the rib was removed, mm-hmm. and it molded him his wife.
Amen.
Christ was also put to death on the cross, and when that Roman soldier in John chapter 19 tore his side, it was the same side.
Amen.
Blood and water, talking about a birth, Amen. Something that was going to produce life,
Amen.
Gave birth to the church.
Amen.
Now, the church, Adam was supposed to plant his seed there. Adam was supposed to plant his seed there.
Amen.
But he planted, Adam was to plant his seed here, you know, to produce more of Adams.
Amen.
Other children, because they were to replenish and repopulate the earth.
Right.
Okay. Now, the same thing also, the church of Jesus Christ, that's why it's referred to as a woman.
Amen.
It's a bride. Is also supposed to, it's a field. Jesus Christ now used the parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the wheat and tares to describe the church.
Amen.
Jesus planted the good seed.
Amen.
That's right.
But while men slept, the enemy came and planted tares. Will you say that they are twins? Will you say the wheat and tares were planted at the same time?
No, sir.
No.
There will be a time frame.
That's right.
Well, we also know that science has shown, I've forgotten the name, that is superposition or something like that.
Sir.
That, yeah, if within a particular time, you know, one seed is planted, another one will also be planted.
That's right.
But if we look at the setting. I've always been looking at it. Although when you look at these parables, you don't take them word for line by line like
That's
that.
Right,
it's only sir. A picture you get.
That's right. Sir.
The picture in Matthew 13 from verse 24, the picture of the parable of the wheat and tares is that first, you know, is that we have two kinds of seed planted in the same farm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
A type of the womb of Eve. Mm-hmm. Two types of seed planted there.
While men slept.
While men slept. Of course, if Adam were awake, then he wouldn't try that.
That's right.
If he were around. So certainly he wasn't around. So I believe, yes, you know, you see, I'm trying to balance it from all the angles.
That's right.
But I will not want to go to who planted first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because if you say who planted first, if you take the parable in Matthew 13, then you say Adam planted first.
That's true.
You know. But you discover that the first one
that came out
was
Cain.
You know, the first one that came out was Cain. And then later on,
Abel
also came forth. That's why we call them twins. Mm. But now the question is, are they the same father? Mm. We say no, because in Adam, you are to bring forth after your kind. That's the commandment.
That's right.
Amen.
In Adam, Adam was innocent.
That's right.
No evil was in him.
That's right. Mm.
No negativity in him, because he was directly created by God.
Mm.
Satan's business is only to pervert.
Mm.
That's why Apostle Paul called it the mystery of iniquity. Mm. What is mysterious about it? The mystery there is that Satan wanted a situation where he will have control of man and pervert mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But while he was thinking about that, God was only going to allow him because he's only going to enable him to play out his attributes. Hallelujah. What was he to do? He was to inject animal, if an animal nature can cross with human nature, then he can easily use that animal nature in man and make man act like animal and defeat the purpose of God. And he will continue with his evil on earth.
Wow.
Okay.
So while Satan was thinking that that knowledge is for sex for pleasure, and remember, if he's going to teach Eve sex for pleasure, you have serpent. Serpent was going to teach Eve sex for pleasure. You have to practicalize it for her to see that it's sweet. Mm-hmm. But in doing that, he injected his seed. And can an animal produce a human being? That will let you know who serpent was. Serpent was an upright being.
Amen.
With a vocal cord.
That's right.
Intelligent enough
to communicate.
So,
wow.
The only thing, therefore, he didn't have was a soul because he was an animal. So that you can understand why Cain did not have a soul.
Wow.
Okay.
He did not have a human conscience. He did not have a human spirit.
My.
Although he was like a human being. So all the characteristics of Cain showed that he was had a lot of animal nature in him. But he must have some human nature too because of Eve.
That's right.
So the chromosomes will mix now.
That's right.
So sometimes he's behaving like a human being, but that nature is there, just anoint that nature and he will act. You know, and that is exactly what Satan wanted to achieve. And of course, we see the story later on. By the time we get to chapter 6, the ungodly multiply. Verse 1.
Okay. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them.
And maybe I use this opportunity to answer the question that they keep asking, where did Cain get
his wife?
Yes, sir.
It will certainly come back there because that was the purpose of it all. Certainly, remember that they were not like us. They were growing. I mean, they could live hundreds of years.
That's right.
So, Adam had daughters. Seth had daughters.
That's right.
Sons had daughters. So, he came and married from this pure line. And that was the purpose. And then, through that marriage, if that animal came, married the pure daughter of God, the children, what would the children have?
Mixed.
A mixture. It would be a mixture. And so you go on now.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men.
You see, this is a
picture.
A picture, that's right. You know, is using the language of Revelation here.
That the sons of God
when you refer, when you refer to the sons of men, you know, when the sons of men, I want you to note something here, chapter 3 again.
Sons of God and daughters of men.
Chapter 4, sorry.
Okay.
What did he say?
Chapter 4 from verse 1.
Uh-huh.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
So, his children, what will you call them?
Children of men. Children of man.
Children of God.
The daughters of man.
Go to verse 25.
And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
So are you catching it now?
Yes, sir.
So, the children of Seth, what will you call them?
Seth was a seed.
The children of God.
Children
of God. The sons of God. That's right.
Do you understand?
Amen.
No, I just want you to understand. You know, it says the sons of God. All
right? That's right.
Sons of God. Luke chapter 3.
Hallelujah.
The genealogy,
yes,
of Jesus. Verse 23. What does it say?
Verse 23. Okay. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli.
Go on.
Up to the last verse.
No, continue. I'll tell you
which was the
stop.
Son of Matat, which was the son of Levi,
yes,
which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph.
Now go to verse 38.
Verse 38. Which was the son of Enos.
They are tracing it backward.
Which was the son of Seth. Which was the son of Adam. Which was the son of God.
So if Seth is the son of Adam, who is the son of God, his children will be called who?
Sons of God.
And if God has given me a man, his children will be called who?
Sons of men.
Sons of men. Now read chapter 6 of Genesis. You will understand who and who they are referring to now.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, which are the sons of Adam,
The sons of Adam through Seth,
saw the daughters of men.
Who
the
are they?
Daughters of Cain.
Canaanites.
Hallelujah. Because she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So, yes.
That they were fair.
They were fair, beautiful. Remember that if you notice, that it will look as if more women were produced on the other side.
Wow.
Because it was an agenda. Mm-hmm. It was an agenda. They have to be beautiful enough so that more beautiful than these other setters.
Contrary to nature.
Okay, go on.
And they took them wives of all which they chose.
Yes.
And the Lord said,
okay, when they did that, he said what?
My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh.
Is what?
Flesh.
Because animal then be. When he said flesh here, he's not talking of the flesh that he created Adam with. He's talking about carnality. Everything was sensual. Everything was just sensual. Everything is just carnal, flesh, carnal.
Galatians 5.
Nothing more, nothing less. Because you see that trait in Cain. What was the vocation of Cain?
Tiller of the ground.
What was the vocation of Abel?
Keep our sheep.
Now, can't you see that they were all following after the job of their father? Because remember that Adam was given a commission to have dominion over all the animals. And so he was the keeper of all the animals. Adam was the keeper of all the animals.
That's right.
So his children will live after him. But remember that the serpent, what was his job?
Like a houseboy.
That was why he was close to the family. He was the one to clear ground, clear everything, clear this. So what was he doing? He's a tiller of the ground. So by their fruit, we know them.
Characteristics. Should we also say this is why he understood the trees and the applications? He knew which one was right and which one was not good. Eve about taking the wrong thing.
It's not about trees. That we already passed that.
Okay.
We have said the tree is a source.
Yes.
But the work he's doing, why will he specialize in tilling the ground? And why we set? It's only just to be keeping the animals.
Abel,
be keeping the animals.
That's right.
And I want you to watch something here, chapter 6 again.
Okay.
Genesis chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
Is it chapter 6? Sorry, the same chapter 4.
Okay.
Verse 26.
Chapter 4, verse 26.
Yes.
And to Seth, to him also there was born a son.
Yes.
And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
So that you now understand why he said man, all man was flesh. Because, you know, there was no worship of God whatsoever. I told you that an animal has no soul. So you can see, it was only from that same lineage again that they began to worship God. Calling upon the name of the Lord there is about worshiping him. It's only them, you know, that that knew how to now worship God. But in let's go to chapter 6.
Okay.
Verse 3.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive in man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years.
That's what he gave man. There were more than that.
There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown.
Now, so you now see the description of them. Because when there's a crossbreeding between an animal and a human being, anything can happen. So they produce giants out of proportion. They were not only giants physically, they were also giant intellectual giants, as we see here. Men of renown. They were men that would do, you know, exploits. Verse 5.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually.
And
it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
Go on, verse
7. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air.
So he just needed to recreate, wipe everything and start all over again. Which was the agenda, to create wickedness, evil everywhere, make God regret what he has done. That was the mystery of iniquity. Unless you catch that. Now, it takes it also to the church because it's a shadow.
Please, sir, is God the author of this mystery of iniquity?
It's not the author of the mystery of iniquity. Satan is the author of the mystery of iniquity. But God knew what he would do because he knows all things.
Okay, so God is using
Satan's
work.
Because if there's no destruction, there will be no salvation.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I think I'm clear on that.
Amen.
So, take it to the church.
So you take it to the church, as I explained earlier, the same thing he has done, so that you understand why Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7.
2 Thessalonians 2, 7.
Yes.
Okay. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Yes.
Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken
the out of the mystery of iniquity. So there is the mystery of iniquity. There is the mystery of iniquity. What is that mystery? How Satan entered
church,
mankind, and reduced us to what we are today. The same thing he's coming to do it
church.
In the church. Remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come.
That's right.
So he came to this same woman again, the church. You can see, he came again to this same woman, the church, and planted his evil there.
Now,
his seed through the same tree of the knowledge of good and evil, having his own serpent ministers that will preach these errors. Death. Planted it. And remember, when that parable said, was you not the good seed you planted? He said, allow them to grow. He said, an enemy has done that.
That's yes, right.
Sir. Was you not the same enemy that did it in the Garden of Eden? An enemy has done that. And it's always coming after the family of Adam, God's son. The last Adam, God's son, has his family, the church.
Wow.
He has come in there again as an angel of light. Because he has to do something that Eve will be attracted to. So he used the false anointed ones. And all the attractions. With feigned words. With subtility. And then comes there. Plants his own seed also. The seed of error. The doctrines of error. And before you know what. The church is now mixed up. Should we pull them out? He said, no, let both grow together so that you don't pull one and pull the other one too. Until the end times, the harvest. That is why he's allowing the truth and error, all of them calling themselves church. But we can see that Jesus made it clear in John chapter 8, if you be Abraham said, why are you not hearing
the works of Abraham?
You are not of God, so you cannot hear the words of God. And that is an eye-opener for us to know who the serpent seeds are. Serpent seeds are not the ones Serpents are not the ones in the beer parlor and armed robbers and all the rest. That is not where they are operating. That is outside. Those ones, they are animals already, full animals. You understand? Those are confirmed animals. Mm-hmm. I mean, cult people enjoy killing, and it's in the bush, forest.
Yeah, full-blooded.
You know, that they feed themselves by killing one another.
That's right.
But human beings, because of the Spirit of God in you, the conscience that God gave you, you don't enjoy seeing even a dead body. You know, you don't even see that. So, but where he is interested in operating, where his address is not in a marine kingdom, is not in any shrine. The address of Satan is in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because that is where Adam is. And that is where Eve is. And that is where children of God are going to be produced and produced. So he comes here with these false preachers that will not follow the word of God. You know today that the Church of Jesus Christ has been invaded by motivational speakers,
that's right,
by theologians, academicians, lecturers, professors. The Church of Jesus Christ, they even have a department of religion in universities. The Church of Jesus have been invaded by Babalawo. What do you call them in English?
Witch doctors.
Witch doctors.
Sorcerers.
Sorcerer. Voodoo people.
Magician.
With Christian names. Now, these people that came in, you know, they have people. The Church of Jesus Christ now, when you're talking of church, in real sense of church, the majority of the churches where you see crowd going, they are not the church for conversion. They are not church that do anything that understand what is in the, what happened on the cross on Calvary. They are a gathering of people that gather to know how to prosper, how to make money, how to get more money. That's what churches are.
How to be protected.
No. 90% of these churches today with a crowd, they don't go there for salvation.
That's true.
They go there and they have motivational speakers that have transformed themselves to pastors.
That's right.
Teaching them how to become successful.
Make it on earth.
How to become, to make money. Sow and reap. Make money. They don't care about salvation. They don't care your source of money. They don't care for anything. And this was the agenda Satan was up to. And he has succeeded. So that is the mystery of iniquity. Until now, the church that started pure, that's why he called it as a chaste virgin, that another seed will not be planted in you. What has it been reduced to today? We can see. There's no semblance with what we see in the Bible recorded with what we see happening in Christianity today.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Okay.
Satan achieved that in the mystery of iniquity.
What happened in Eden? We'll take a short break so that you and I can digest.
Can think.
Can digest these fruits. These fruits from the tree of life. When we come back, I believe we have a few more questions to ask our man of God yet. So stay tuned, we'll be right back.